Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, beloved. As always, it is such an honor, privilege, and pleasure to be in fellowship this Sabbath, corresponding with May the 6th of 2017. For as I always say from the depths of my heart, because I mean it, God is an awesome God. He is a good God, and I am so grateful for the love, mercy, and grace that he affords you and I to live life and to live sanctified and to be holy, to have love and to be in his knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. You know, it is a priceless blessing that we will never fully comprehend, to know that we have mercy in spite of our shortcomings, fallings and stumblings along the way. But God shows us his love in being merciful. He has not condemned us as of yet, as long as we have a presence of mind to repent. However, we cannot be found in our sin when his Son, his wonderful, only begotten Son, Yeshua the Messiah, returns, execute the judgment that the Father has given to him. And so we want to always be conscious. We want to be mindful. We always want to be in examining of ourselves with respect to our ways, our thoughts, our actions, these type of things. It's very important for us to stay on top of ourselves, and so that we don't think we're standing when actually we have fallen. We have fallen away from the truth. We have fallen away from the word. We have fallen away from the spirit. And whatever we're connected to, whatever feeling we may feel, it's only a learned behavior. It is only a religion, for that matter. You know, because many people are feeling some kind of way, or feeling something, should I say, as though it was the Holy Spirit, but it's a counterfeit. It is the spirit of religion. And the spirit of religion would justify you. It would make you believe in the promises and the things of the word of Yah. It is a counterfeit. It is purpose and parallel to the word of Yah, but it does not have the spirit, and therefore the behaviors and the actions, the fruits, for that matter, are not the same fruits when they are inspected. And we just have to be honest with ourselves. You know, that's key to it all, is just being honest. And being honest to ourselves, it allows us to be honest with God when we go before him in prayer, when we repent. So I want to encourage the saints in this day and time. I want to encourage the saints to be to keep standing, you know, and to hold fast. Don't let go, because it is essential. It is a matter of life and death. You know, the time is evil, and we cannot make any mistake about it, that the time is evil. Even in, I bring this scripture to thought, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. You know, the Lord lets us know through this word of what it is. He says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, redeeming that time. We wasted a lot of time in foolishness and ignorance, you know, and the things that were ungodly. We wasted a lot of time in those things. So we have to redeem. We have to buy back. We have to be ever more diligent in the things of Yah, because they're shorter. The time is short now, and we have to be even more conscious of working the works of Yah with respect to his word. That is redeeming. Redeeming the time, you know, because of the amount of time that the evil days that we have practiced far outnumber the good days. And so, you know, we have to be hard at work, that once we come into the knowledge of truth, once we acknowledge the error of our ways and we come into repentance, then we have to put as much energy in keeping the integrity of Yah's word, of preserving and keeping ourselves through the Holy Spirit in Yah's word, is also we have to put more energy and attention to that as we did when we were sinners, as we did when we were ignorant. You know, we can't come into the faith and then begin to get lazy and to, comfortable in these type of things and unwilling to make sacrifices, unwilling to go through, you know, unwilling to endure suffering. You know, in the world we sacrificed, in the world we suffered, you know, some of us, we worked these jobs and we had entertainment and, you know, we'll go to a club and stay at a club all night, get an hour of sleep, then go to work. That was a sacrifice. You know, we did things to meet the requirements of the people of the world, you know, suffer some things, you know, even in bad relationships, suffer some things in bad relationships, being unsafe, you know, being through the hurt and the pain, being turned down, being turned away, and yet we still kept pressing if we had a goal, if we had an agenda, you know, if we wanted to be someone, you know, be it in entertainment, be it in colleges and school, you know, we put a lot of energy in this stuff. It says that all that was for naught because we were not converted. We were not born again. So now when we come into the Spirit, we're redeeming the time. We're trying to buy back. And so it has us being busy for the things of Yah now to make up for the lost time and the energy that we put into those things and wasted. You know, so it's very real in the sense of how we have to continue to press and how and not forsaking or not that word, but not ignorant of the devices of Satan. This is why we got to keep standing and hold fast, because when we were working on the devil's behalf, you know, all the momentum was pushing us forward, you know, pushing us to be famous, to be successful, pushing us to be what was going to be in the best interest of Satan, to promote his ideals and to promote his doctrine and to promote his lies and his perversions and his hatred. The momentum was there. But when you come on the side of Yah, then you're fighting an uphill battle, and there is a force that is working against the momentum of advancing forward in the Messiah. So then you have this opposition, and it's like swimming upstream. But we're supposed to endure this because it's not our power. It is the Spirit of the Lord that will be working through us. You know, it is the host of heaven that is assigned to assist us, along with the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do the things of Yah and to enlighten us and to encourage us in these type of things, and then amongst one another. So in this, you know, when we're standing, we have to keep standing and we have to hold fast. You know, I make mention of the times as evil, but I want to remember, I want us to be mindful, should I say, of Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10, it says, you know, this is for our enlightenment. This is for our encouragement. You know, we're not alone. We have a host of great men and women who have taken this path unto the Lord. You know, it is a straight, meaning a difficult, not the straight as in a straight line, but the straight referring to difficult. And it is a narrow way. You know, there's not much wiggle room. The most wiggle room you can get is to open this word and have a little more space on the left and right of you. But for the most part, this is very narrow. We don't have a lot of liberty to do the things of this world. We don't have the liberty that the sinner man have, that the ungodly have, you know, that the wicked have, that the haters have. We don't have the liberty because they don't have a conscience. They can do any and everything. They can get into sexual perversion. They can get into homosexuality and feel justified. They can get into racism and feel justified. They can get into vulgarity and obscenities and lewdness, you know, and all these type of sexual sins and this pride and not have a consciousness about it and feel justified because they're in the broad way, and in the broad way there's no conscience. You do what you will. You have no one to answer to. You can remain lawless. All you have to do is make sure that you clear your name with the system, with the government, you know, with the men of this world, with the people in this world. Have no regard for being in oneness with Yah, making sure that you have a good rapport with the Most High God and with the Son of Yah. People more concerned and more fearful of men, of low-grade, men of low standards, low morals. I don't care if they're police officers. I don't care if they're judges. I don't care if they're politicians. I don't care if they're your family, they're your friends, they're your instructors, your teachers, whomever. People want to fear men above fearing God. When the men that they want, that they are fearing, and with the men that they are looking up to, be it the judges and whomever else, prosecutors or whoever else, they all have to bow down before the Son of Yah. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. That means every knee. That means every tongue. No one gets by. Everyone is going to have to bow before the glory and the lordship, the authority, the power, the might of the Most High God, Yah, through his only begotten and beloved Son, Yeshua. They may appear to be somebody now. They can be rich. They can be the Bill Gates. They can be the Mark Zuckerberg and the Facebook, perverted Facebook team, and, you know, these rich men in high places that people want to be friends with, you know, the celebrities that people want to go out their way with to accommodate. To follow, you know, as a following in the social media, you know, the celebrities in social media, and everybody want to be like them. They want to follow them and all. That's something in this world amongst men, a system designed of Satan. But that's nothing to Yah. So let me tell you how much it means to Yah, this world. This world means so much to Yah, this world. Not the precious souls, okay? There's a difference. But this world means so much to Yah that he's going to destroy it with fire. That's how much it means to him. When something is not of value to you, yeah, you will destroy it. You know, when you don't have no attachment to something, you'll destroy it with fire. You know, you'll destroy it with whatever you can get your hands on. Yah just purposed to destroy this world with fire because it means nothing to him. It is the souls that mean the most to Yah. But this world and the system of it, the evils of it, you can best believe that it is not worth, if it don't mean nothing to him, it ought not to mean anything to you. And those that love money and doing everything they can, and I tell you, we need money. You know, it's so much easier, more comforting when you can pay your bills, when you don't have to worry about money issues. Money issues is stressing a lot of folks out. I would say stressing a lot of us out, for that matter. You know, money answers all things. It's good to have, but it's definitely not good to love. But it answers all things. But wisdom is even greater than money, because wisdom would have us in preservation of our soul. But it would also give us a simplicity of life, and it would just be a comfort in a sense of being able even to know what to do with the money. You know, when we have this godly wisdom, being able to have the money and preserve our soul, being able to stand fast and to hold fast the wisdom which is connected to the word of Yah, that money cannot buy the consolation. It cannot buy the peace of mind and the consciousness for the soul man. You got a lot of rich people out there, but their soul is in turmoil. America is a very wealthy nation. a rich nation, but look at the turmoil, look at the wickedness, look at the murder, look at the evil that is in this nation. It is a testament to that money is not everything. You know, so in that, he says, finally, my brother, and this is Ephesians 6 and 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is encouraging. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil, that you may be able to stand. It's not that he's not going to hit you, but when he hit us, we can still stand. He don't knock us out because we understand the way he is coming. And we have the armor of God. We have the strength of God. And it goes on to say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're not, see, the battle is more than the people that we are coming to encounter with. You know, you best believe that Satan sends his spirits through people in order to do us wrong, in order to prevent our advancements in the Messiah, in order to discourage us, in order to beat us down. Satan uses men. The spirit can't just jump on you and begin to have a physical fight with you. And you know, now it does that with people who are possessed. And so you may see a man in the street, or a woman for that matter. You know, they're wrestling with themselves. They're punching the air and they're socking themselves. It can do that in the sense of possessing you spiritually and then messing with your mind to engage in a fight that is really not there naturally. But being possessed, you don't understand that. So it can do that. That's happening all day, every day nowadays, because people are literally losing their mind, that the oppression of the wicked and the witchcraft that is in the high places, and we'll get to the principalities and the rulers of this world and the powers and the spiritual wickedness that is in the high places. That is, you know, you best believe your government is well vested into witchcraft. They are well vested into witchcraft, and it is not by accident that these people are losing their minds in numbers that you can't even begin to imagine. So we're not fighting only against the flesh, you know, and blood, but we're fighting against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is why when I pray, I'm always asking, Lord, strike the principalities, strike the powers, strike the spiritual wickedness in high places, strike the rulers of the darkness of this world. You strike them, because I know that they're in position. I know that they are a threat to me and to whomever else. And so I ask the Lord to strike at them. And he does it. He brings down people in high places with authority. They're getting exposed all day, every day. You know, it's just a sign of what is to come. You know, you look at Bill O'Reilly. For 20 years was at the top of cable television, you know, giving their perverted opinion and instigating and trouble and being troublemakers as Fox News. But Bill O'Reilly, the top guy, no longer there, forced to resign or was fired. However, y'all does that type of stuff, you know, and, you know, we just have to according to his word, and see these things and see that he is able to do it on a world scale basis with respect to bringing all principalities, bringing them all down. He is able to do it even if he just, you know, target one like a sniper and bring him down and the other. He's showing himself that it's easy to be done. These men are puffed up in their pride. When they get to talking, when they get to acting out a certain way, they puffed up in the pride and the imagination of their own mind. They're not moving y'all, because at any given time, y'all can speak that word and bring them down. You know, even a police officer. This is so sad. I don't know what kind of people these are. If they are people, these certain other Caucasian police officers. I mean, I have to go back and I'm going to do some research because I don't know that they are people. But they had that officer in Texas. They were responding to a party of teenagers, and apparently, a young man. A black child with his brothers was in the car. They were leaving the place they were gathered together, having a party at it, whatever. They were leaving it because they felt trouble was there. Police come, and this, as the vehicle is leaving, this officer, Caucasian officer, shoots into the vehicle. And I'm like, I can't comprehend how do you even being a grown man, being a skilled, a professional individual, how do you begin to even process in your mind to shoot into a vehicle, not regarding the lives that are in the vehicle, the lives that you are sworn to protect and serve, and you just recklessly shoot into a vehicle? And in his recklessness, he killed this young boy. What in his mind? And then going to try to lie about it. And this lying and murdering is just so common with police officers. It makes it as bad enough, should I say, when, you know, you got your own kind in the neighborhood. You got to be fearful of your own kind. And that's not only with black people. Caucasians have to be fearful of other Caucasians. Hispanics of other Hispanics, and so on and so forth. You know, generally those that are going to hurt you most will be amongst your own people. But then this man that wants to be the authority and want to set himself as God and have a system and have law enforcement as to execute what God said he would execute in his righteous order, but the unrighteous cannot do the works of Yah. The wicked can't do the works of Yah. So their justice system is a perversion of justice. It's a joke. Their level of truth and honesty is a joke. It's just words. It's just a great ideal. But the actuality of it is they can have no honor. They can have no truth. They cannot be trustworthy. They cannot be honest because they're liars, because they're sinners. They are servants of Satan. They take the things of Yah and try to create a society and a system around it, but they forget that they're not Yah. And so your justice is perverted. It is injustice. You glory in your sin. You glory in lies. You know, you quick to believe a lie. All of these things that happen, and it goes ties into this is why we got to keep standing, and this is why we got to hold fast, because the enemy is coming in like a flood. So we put on the whole armor of Yah. And I'll continue in the scripture. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. This is the evil day. We are redeeming the times because the day is evil. The times are evil. You know, this is the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles was going to know an evil in the system like no other time in history. Why during this time would it be such? Because, you know, when you look at the empires of old, the Babylonian Empire, the Mede and the Persian Empire, when you look at the Greek Empire, and even the ancient Roman Empire, you know, the Messiah had not been on the scene. You know, Rome had been in power, and then the Messiah was born, and then the change started to happen at that point. But prior to that point in the preceding empires, the Messiah was not there. You know, whether the Assyrians, whether the Egyptians, all of them were in the ignorance and did not have the light. And Yah had a people out of them people that he gave his oracles to, his laws and commandments, and they were to be the example. They were to be the light. Fast forwarding it to these Gentiles. These Gentiles have come at a time after the Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection. They have heard the gospel. They have professed to believe in the gospel. And with the gospel, they have did the most heinous and atrocious of crimes, committed the most egregious atrocities against humanity, against God, against everything that is of God, that is standing for God. They made an attempt in the name of the Lord to destroy the things of Yah and then recreate it so they can be as Yah, and they pervert justice. They pervert life. They make life difficult and hard. You know, they justify wickedness. They make evil good and good evil. In the name of the Lord, they have no conscience about it. You call yourself a Christian and anything goes on as a Christian. You can do anything as a Christian and feel good about yourself and think that you still have a relationship with the Most High God, because there is no relationship. There's no pricking of the Spirit. There's no conviction, because your strength is in the doctrine of devils. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, men and women telling you that it's okay to be a homosexual. It's okay to divorce and be remarried. It's okay to be an adulterer and to stay in that sin. It's okay to be disobedient to parents. It's okay to be lewd. It's okay to be promiscuous. It's okay to be naked and be unashamed, unapologetical, unrepentant. It's okay to be unholy. And then at the same time, while you're doing it, justify yourself and make it look good and make it seem as though it is a natural thing to do. And that's the hands of the Gentiles. That's the spirit of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are good at that. It is what America was founded on. These so-called Christians that came and annihilated the Native Americans and then brought people from the other side of the world over here and continue in the most egregious and crimes and atrocious, or the atrocities of crimes against humanity for people that did not even ask to come here. You forced them here, and I'm talking about my people. Here in America. Now, God had a plan for that, because when you really get into the scriptures, you understand that it was Judah. It was the children of Israel that these Gentiles were going to do these egregious evils against. You know, the violation of crimes against humanity as has never been perpetrated against any people in the world, the Caucasian men, whether in Australia, whether in Africa, wherever people of color, this man has gone and just violate to the highest degree their humanity, stole their resources, and did it in the name of the Lord. Sent missionaries to disarm the people. They worked like bad cop, good cop, 1-2 punch, set up every time, under the pretext of doing good, under the pretext of helping even in this day and time, to stop starvation. You go to Africa, you go to India, you go to these places of color, and under the pretext of charitable work or whatever, the government, in concert with these organizations and these people, come and do evil, and then you find out that they're putting diseases, that you find out that they're orchestrating the famines, and that they're causing the chaos and havoc in the lands, because they are lovers of money, and the love of money is the root of all evil. So the lovers of money, unless you know how they are too, with respect to the evil that's going on in the world, it is by people who love money above their own souls. They love money. Money is as their God. It is what they idolize. So, you know, with that being said, continuing, he says, "Stand therefore, having your loins," and this is verse 14, "you know, withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand." You know, many of us fallen when we haven't done all to stand, falling off little or nothing. You know, and true indeed, God would give us no more than what we can bear. But when you look at other places of the world that are, quote, considered third world countries or whatever, really, when you... the European Empire, which America is a part of, which is in turn, in that regard, an extension of the Roman Empire. But the dominion, the world dominion, the power and authority of the Caucasian people, the Western nation, the Western Christian people, that even now they want to deny any type of religion with respect to Christianity, because they use it to get to the position that they're at now. Now they don't even want to acknowledge God in any form now. You know what I'm saying? And so it's a big issue about religious artifacts, religious practices and things. Now they're fighting against themselves in that now, because they have got to a level where they really feel confident that God, they don't need God, and they don't need to hustle the name of Yeshua no more and these different things. But in that, you know, with regard to the Christians and the Roman Empire, and, you know, where we are with this now, these folks have established a system that something got my attention, so I lost my train of thought. You guys can't see me on this end, but something got my attention and made me lose my train of thought. But at any rate, when we are having done all to stand, and we are still standing in this evil day that we are expected to stand in this evil day, it is the standing against that this man has launched such an attack on humanity, and his, for whatever he's angry with God for. And it has not been enough that he has gotten all the resources, gotten all that he has gotten out of this world. His appetite is insatiable. It's not enough. He wants more. This is why what's happening in the Middle East is going on, because they have not gotten the dominion and the full power and authority over the Middle East with respect to being able to flood those nations with their sexual perversion. They want to be in those nations, so those nations, their women can be naked, you know, their women can be exploited, you know, drugs can be a part of their culture, you know, to steal the identity, to take any sense of morality, any standard. They want to tear that down, and this is why they have pretexts of terrorism when they are the worst terrorists that has ever been on the planet. You know what I'm saying? And they begin to demonize other people, and once again, in order to justify the evil that they want to do. And so they would do it under the pretense of doing good, but the intent is always to steal, to kill, destroy, to lie, to murder. I mean, it just never stopped. The MO never stopped. And see, this is what we have to stand against, though, because the spirits that are associated with it will make us feed into that spirit, and so that we are disobedient to God, you know, that we are given into our flesh. And so we are taken to the pride, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is what fuels this system. This is why they know how to market. They know how to promote. They know how to advertise to the appealing of the flesh. And because sin is big business. When you appeal to the flesh, that's big business. And so we have to withstand against them onslaughts by having a standard, and the standard has to be set by the word of Yah, but we put on this armament, and so we take on the whole armor, and then it says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. You know, that's like your belt, you know, to hold up your garment in truth. You know, the things of Yah, your righteousness, let it be of truth. You know, your if you have a sense of morality, let it be about girded in truth. You know, hold these things up. If you have a certain honor, respect about yourself and about humanity, women as becoming that which is of a woman of righteousness, men likewise, hold it up with truth. And I don't think it's to be ignored that nowadays men and women, for that matter, also, you know, their garments, because there's no truth, their pants are sagging, you know, or they're half naked. You know, I think it's something to pay attention to, because that the loins is, you know, that is what goes around the waist to hold the outfit together. Having on that belt, but when you don't have truth, and the truth is Yeshua, and the truth is the word of Yah, then yeah, your pants sag. I don't think it's by accident. I think it's telling us a lot with respect to the generation that we are in. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, you know, that be protected in righteousness. Guard our heart in righteousness. People's heart are corrupted in wickedness. And then things get into the heart, and the heart begins to be the central command center for the mind. And so we acting out things that go into our heart that is unrighteousness and wickedness. And then in this command center, it gives it the authority, it gives the order to go out and do the things that people are having. But if we had the breastplate of righteousness, we don't allow these things to set in our heart. But we allow the righteousness, the holy things, we allow the word of Yah to set in our heart. And it protects our heart from being the hurts and the pains and, you know, just things that would give us a corrupt heart. And once again, I don't think it's from a natural sense being reflective of the spiritual. I don't think it's mere coincidence that heart disease is the number one killer of Americans. Heart disease. But that breastplate protects the heart, protects your chest. It protects those organs, those internal organs. That's what that breastplate would do. You know, those things that are delicate, you know, emotions. Protect your emotions with righteousness. Righteousness will give you a spirit of discernment, and then you'll know who's who and what's what. And it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We ought to know how to walk in the Lord. That's the covering. If we walk in the way of Yah's word, then that is the preparation, and that is where peace lies for us, walking in his word. When we walk outside of his word, then we're walking into turmoil. We're walking into enemy camp. We're walking under fire from the enemy. That's going to happen anyway, walking in Yah's word, but then we're protected. See, when Yah give us this armament, it's not to say that we're not going to be attacked. It's to say that when we under attack, that we're protected. But if you are not in the way of Yah's word and you go out there, there's no protection for you when you attack. So you can lose your life. You can lose your soul. You can lose your mind. You can lose your marriages. You can lose your honor. You know, it's so much at stake that you can lose. That is priceless. That's the only difference, is we're going to get attacked, but we're protected. Opposed to those who not. But it says, above all, taken, and then it says, so when we walk in Yah, that's peace. We have a peace of mind. Our feet are covered in the direction of the Lord that we walk in. Then it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith, and that's what I'm saying. We're going to be under attack. It's just a difference being under attack in the Lord. You know, but the fiery darts, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah. So the shield of faith, you know, when Satan bombards us with these thoughts, when Satan bombards us with these actions, when Satan come against us, you know, and have all these issues rise up, you know, in the natural, you know, your lights get turned off or your car go out or you get struck with sickness. Your relationships go bad, you know, just so much. You can't get a job, and, you know, just it seems like all hell is trying to break loose, you know. But those are darts from Satan. And for the believer, we are supposed to have faith, and no matter what Satan sends our way, we're supposed to know that God is able to deliver us at any given time, that Yah is able to turn our situation around in a way that is most prosperous to us in a way that is beneficial for us and our soul. You know, no matter what it may look like, our faith will have us to see Yah through it, to get us through it, and that's how we resist the fiery darts of the devil. Because, see, when the devil throws those darts at us through those happenings and those issues of life, what it is designed to do is to make us lose hope, make us to doubt God, you know, make us to give up on life and wanting to live. You know, Paul had that experience, but then Paul, he recorded that experience where they didn't even want to live for the persecution they were going through for the Yeshua's sake. A lot of us, again, dealing with the consequences for our own sake and our own decisions. But, you know, they despise life, but then the spirit kick in is what he wrote to us, to be encouraged in the fact that these things will happen. You may feel some kind of way about this, but this is where the faith kicks in. And it gives us the hope. It gives us the resolve. It gives us the strength. And then we take the helmet of salvation. You know, the helmet of salvation, we protect in our thoughts. We preserve in the salvation. We have been told that we will be saved. And so the helmet of salvation is protecting the ideal of salvation for us that Yah had given to us, the picture of it, that so that we don't let nothing take away our salvation. No wicked thought from the enemy to take away our salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the battle that we are fighting. And the list can go on, saints, with regard to this. You know, I like to profess Romans 8:20, 8:38 in closing. I'm, you know, just going to, you know, blog a little bit today. Not as long. I normally would do the full hour, but I'm not doing a full hour. But in Romans 8:38, excuse me. But I'm going to go to 8:38, but I want to start at this, you know. I think it's important to start at verse 35. And this is why we got to keep standing and hold fast, because our salvation is on the line. Yah has already told us what to expect in this faith. We don't come into this faith blindly, not when you truly come in. If you're coming in through TBN, if you're coming in through these prominent ministers of Satan that posing as ministers of the Lord, then and they got all the gold and the glitter, they got all the promises, they got the motivational speaking. If you're coming into that, you're going to be sadly mistaken. If you're coming into the faith, the body of the true Messiah, through those means, you're going to be sadly mistaken. Yah has already told us what to expect. And what to expect is not what we're seeing on the outside on television. You know, what we're seeing by hearing it on other mediums or whatever have you. You know what I'm saying? You will be surprised at the people that are living a fake life. They can be in luxury cars or whatever and go to a place that you don't know, and they sleeping on the floor. You know, they got one outfit that they wearing and wearing it to death, but then outside of that, you'd be surprised at what they don't have in clothing. You'd be surprised at what people are cosmetically doing just to have a mere appearance of being successful when they are in such poverty in more ways than one. It is so deceiving. The eyes, you know, you can deceive, especially when your mind is not right and when you're not in the Lord. So the people that we think are rich and famous, and many of them may have money and these different things, but there's some issues of life that they deal with that you would not believe. You would be astounded if you knew. If you knew the sexual perversion of people in high places, if you just knew that alone, you know, whether it's child pornography, raping the young boys, whether it's what goes on even in their relationships, be it a man with a man or a woman with a woman, the ungodliness of that union, of course, particularly a man with a man should not be with another man as a woman. That is an abomination, and it's going to stay abomination. I don't care how they try to make it natural. I don't care how they fight and resist against it. They can't resist and fight against the truth and expect to live in eternity. There's a day of expiration for those fighters against the truth, but you'll be surprised. people are not living. It's not what it looks like. So in Romans 8:35, and I'll read, it says this. The Lord poses this question through Paul. He says, who shall separate us from the love of the Messiah? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. It's already written, saints. Who shall separate us from the love of the Messiah? Not only the love on the Messiah's end, but the love that we would have for him. Man, are we going to let persecution stop us, make us disobedient and rebellious to God? If we disobedient and rebellious to God, then we have separated our love from him. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, obey me. So if you're going to let persecution, are you going to let trouble, are you going to let the threat, are you going to let food or the lack of it and nakedness and because you don't have the type of clothing, the type of material things, are you going to let the material things of this world stop you from loving God? None of these things that God had to go through on our behalf has stopped him from loving us. None of the betrayals and the things that we did to God stopped his love for us, and it didn't stop Yeshua the Messiah from dying a death for us when he knew that we wouldn't appreciate him and that we were ungrateful. It didn't stop him. He's done his part. Who is going to separate us from Yah? And the answer rests with ourselves. Satan can't separate you from Yah with all the fiery darts, whatever he throw. So it's a personal question. Are you going to separate yourself from Yah? And then it says this. It says, verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Because we don't fight a natural fight. We're more than conquerors. Conquerors, that's in a three-dimensional realm. Like how America and her conquerors and the Europeans, and they went and conquered other nations and lands and people and subjected them to being slaves and things of that nature, you know, those are conquerors. We're more than them because our fight, we destroy them by in the spiritual realm. We don't fight, we don't conquer in the natural realm. We destroy them by spiritual realm because our fight is spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh, only flesh and blood. Conquerors wrestle with flesh and blood. We are more than them. We take it into the spiritual realm. Still on the air. I don't know what happened. But in closing, it says, for I am persuaded. So we're more than conquerors. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things present to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Yeshua the Messiah, our Lord. And that's the mindset we got to have. And he's speaking on behalf of the church as oneness, even though we deal with this individually. He's speaking in a profession of faith. And Yah has given us this faith through his Holy Spirit to inspire that we don't have to, no matter what is going on, we don't have to be separated from the love of Yah no more than Yah does not separate his love from us. It is one and the same. So, beloved, and I don't even know if I'm still recording now, but if I am, I want to say, may God continue to richly bless us in his love, mercy, and grace unto salvation. Above all else, take care, loved ones.